Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago with a very special live studio audience. Now, I'm not sure it's a first, it might be a second, if you heard a nice Jewish mother in that live studio audience. Yes, because we have Grammy, my mom, visiting us here in Chicago for Purim. And let's get a live take here. Grammy, tell us about Purim. How is Purim? Is this your first appearance on Monday Motivation?
This is my first appearance on Monday Motivation and my very first real Purim, and it was fabulous.
Great. Was there a lot of excitement, celebration?
People coming in and out and out and in, and it was just fabulous. And God willing, I'll be back next year.
Okay, amazing. So that is the Mishloach Manos of the giving gifts to the poor. Of gift baskets to friends. Also, so people were delivering all day different gift baskets. And then the actual meal. Grammy, come tell us about the actual meal. We had over 50 young professionals at a Purim meal, and then it morphed into Shabbos.
And it was fabulous. And the transition from Purim to Shabbos was amazing. And the whole experience was just one that I will long remember.
Okay, great. Unbelievable. You heard it live here. Now, the question is if Grammy will hear the podcast with my father tomorrow again. She said, why? This sounds like deja vu already. Okay, so it was so blessed to have Grammy here. Thank you very much. And it was actually an absolutely incredible Purim. Purim is, sadly, as we said last week, for many American Jews, it's the Sunday school carnival, which, again, I'm not anti-Sunday school Purim carnivals, but if that's the beginning, middle, and end of Purim, that certainly we're lacking and we're missing the essence of Purim. Purim was spectacular. It's the time where we use food and drink to celebrate the greatness of Hashem's, God's love for the Jewish people, that he is with us at all times. And even when there's a mask on, even when there is darkness around us, Hashem, God, is right there. And, you know, 3,800 years of Jewish history since Abraham certainly confirms that. And 3,300 plus years, 3,337 to be precise, it will be from Mount Sinai this coming Passover, from leaving Egypt this coming Passover, and then receiving the Torah 50 days later, which we commemorate with Shavuos. So we've been around a long time, particularly the last 2,000 years in exile. And there are many times where it seems that Hashem is hiding. But as we know, Hashem is hidden in plain sight. He's right there. Just because, as we said last week, someone who has a mask on doesn't mean that he's not there. He is there. He's just hiding. And I want to share with you an absolutely, I find, we've been laughing in a good way about this since a few weeks before Purim, when we got my costume, and then the week of when we perfected the costume, and during the Purim meal, and then since the Purim meal, when we were able to watch the videos of the Purim meal, because obviously it was Friday, we started the meal around 5 o'clock, and then at 6:37 was candle lighting, so we had to build a whole feeling of Purim and joy and celebration. And we feel tremendously blessed by Hashem God. He really just opened the gates. Everyone was feeling it. It just sometimes things just flow, and this just flowed. I take zero credit for it. It was really just a divine gift. Everyone was happy and flowing and celebrating Purim. And then, I don't know, somewhere in the middle of that time, 5:45-ish something, I duck out to go change into my costume. I go into our host's back little office where I had my costume stashed, and there it was, the male Amazon wig, okay? Like, with bangs and all. And we got, we had tried out two of them, no, it didn't work, sent them back to Amazon. The third was the charm, perfect. Bangs a little too much. I went to my barber, he cut it perfectly, and Shalom was back in his glory day with long bangs that you could like flop back. I hadn't had bangs in like 3 decades. It was great. And then I had my high school Letterman jacket. Yes, but way back when. And then I had aviator glasses. Okay, that actually one of my Kiruv colleagues, give a shout out to Johnny Uzan from Houston, gave to me as a gift because I always tell him how cool he looks in those glasses. And he got me a pair. So we put all those three things together. And then I made my way out into the party. Very nondescript. And just started sitting down next to groups of people and introduced myself as a slightly awkward Steve. Hi, I'm Steve. And, you know, Suri, my wife, said afterwards, said, you should have been cool. I said, yeah, I kind of wanted to be socially awkward just to like, you know, whatever. Anyway, sat down. Two guys got it right away. They saw it right away. They saw who I was. But the people across the table, both of whom who I've been I've known for years. One of them I've known for literally probably 15 years, 13 years, and not a clue. They have no idea who I am. Again, I have my same bushy beard. I have a wig now. So for those of you who don't know what Rabbi Garfunkel looks like, I no longer have a hairline, okay, but I have a big yarmulke. So now I have bangs covering basically my whole forehead, and I have aviator glasses and a Letterman jacket on. And they have no idea. And then slowly, as the conversation continues, I tried to change my voice a little bit. By the way, it's very hard to change the tenor of your voice. But nevertheless, did my best. And after a couple minutes, the people across the table figured it out as well. And they start laughing. And I say, shh, don't give it away. And I turn to the young professional girl who's next to me, who knows me. Again, we've been on trips together, she comes every week, seen me hundreds, without exaggeration, at least a couple hundred times. I mean, like, and I'm looking at her, you know, kind of violating her personal bubble. She will not look at me. There is a strange guy. She looks over, still does not recognize me, and the whole thing. And then at a certain point, the light goes on and the whole part of the table gasps, oh, it's Rabbi dressed up as Steve. And then at that point, I put my finger to my lips, shh, be quiet, oh, don't give the secret away. And I make my way through the entire room. And that's how it was. Some people were able to get it right away, but there were many people who, again, and it's so funny, maybe the people that I've known the most and the longest had no clue. And I showed them the video today afterwards. Obviously, we went into Shabbos, and I usually do not long and yearn for my phone on Shabbos, but I was actually very curious to see what these videos were, and they came out amazing. Of the people, one girl in particular, I won't call her out, but she was just laughing at herself, had no clue who I was. And you see her in the video, say, who is that? She's like mouthing, who is that guy? Who is that weirdo? Absolutely delicious. I don't know why I am deriving so much joy from this, but it was just hysterical. For those people who are listening to Money Motivation early in the morning, you can check out my WhatsApp status. Maybe we'll post it on other parts of social media, but if you have WhatsApp, you can check out, and we are contacts, then you could check out my WhatsApp status and you will see all of the fun. The piece de resistance was then I started, actually Rabbi Marcus, my beloved partner here at Project 613. We have a beloved student in Israel, and Rabbi Marcus sends a picture of me. Okay, now, mind you, there's a big Garfunkel on my jacket, okay? It's from my high school. It's like, you know, class of 1991, just to give things away. So my name is on the jacket. And this is a student, a young professional with whom we've been connected for many years, many trips. We talk all the time. And and Rabbi Marcus said, here's this guy, Steve, and he misses you. He spent a lot of time with you and been on trips with you. And he just wanted to say hi. He just wanted to know if you remembered him. And this young professional in Israel, American in Israel, had no idea. None. He's like, I'm so sorry, bad memory. And it kept going on the chat this morning for close to an hour. And I'm like, Rabbi Marcus, we need to put him out of his misery. And so what happened? I finally said, hey, so-and-so, look at the name on the jacket. I'm like, that's going to give it away, right? And he said, oh, well, that's your name, but what does that have to do with the person? I said, because that is me. That was me in it. And he started all over WhatsApp, cracking up and could not believe it. And this why are we talking about this? First of all, it's a fun story. It's actually amazing. And it's amazing being on this side of it. I'm not sure I'd want to be on the other side of this story, but it was just so much fun. And it was like the best of Purim. But it really is one of the deep messages of Purim, because we think that we're looking at the world and we know what we're looking at. And many times we do not see the reality that's hitting us right in the face. It's hidden in plain sight. And that is, it reminded me this whole thing, you know, people wonder, how could it be that the Yosef's brothers could not recognize Yosef, right? The Gemara says, well, this shows that if you grow a beard, then that's enough to throw someone off. Because Yosef, when he left, did not have a beard, but when he was in Egypt, he did have a beard. Okay, well, I had a beard both beginning and end of this story. But either way, couldn't the brothers see it? They were looking at Yosef. And in fact, it says that Yosef looked exactly like Jacob, Yosef's father, all of their fathers. And so if anything, with a beard, he would look more familiar, but they could not see it. And the commentators point out something absolutely amazing is if you do not expect something, you won't be able to see it. If it is beyond your purview of possibly even imagining something could be true, then you could be looking at it with your eyeballs and you can process the images, but you won't see it because you're on the wrong template. You have the wrong GPS in your mind. We've used this analogy before of you open up your Waze or Google Maps and you click on Michigan Avenue and you start navigating. The only issue was it's Michigan Avenue in Detroit and not in Chicago. You were just lost. You cannot see the reality. And so the brothers of Yosef couldn't see it. And these young professionals, again, not to their fault at all, they could not imagine that their rabbi was sitting down next to them as this new guy, Steve. And this brings us to a very powerful lesson about where we are in certainly American Jewry around the world, but now in particular in American Jewry. And I want to quote an amazing piece of Talmud that's actually amazing. I first heard this, I like to ascribe credit. That Megillah says that you bring redemption to the world when you ascribe credit. I heard this from my dear colleague, Reuven Ibragimov, who is a great rabbi of Chazak, Sephardic rabbi, great, great young rabbi, very, very accomplished. He and his wife Nalini, the two of them are just a powerhouse family, do so many great things for the Jewish people. Okay, and he quoted this, and it stuck with me because it's so true. And he quoted the Gemara, the Talmud, in Bava Basra, which is one of the tractates that deals with torts and law, etc., a lot of real estate law, in 73b, and it says like this. And it was one of the great sages, Rabbah, the son of Bar Chana, Rabbah Bar Chana, and he said an amazing account of an episode. He said, once while on a ship, we came to what we assumed was a large island, since we saw on it sand and growing grass. We disembarked the ship and went onto the island, built a fire and cooked our meal. Yet what we assumed to be an island was really a fish. When the fish, meaning a whale, must have been a massive fish, when the fish felt the heat, he rolled over and we were plunged into the water. Had the ship not been nearby, we would have drowned. Now the question is, what is this going on? What does this mean? What is this very bizarre story of Rabbi Bar Bar Chana and this ship and the journey. And so the commentators put together an absolutely fascinating the Marsha, brought down by Y.Y. Jacobson and others, say an amazing, amazing approach. It says, we have been on a journey, the Jewish people, since Mount Sinai, again, 3,337 years ago, coming this time around the cycle. We've been on a journey, and as long as we stay in the waters of Torah, as long as we, who are the fish who swim in the waters of Torah, we're going to be safe. But when we disembark onto foreign lands and then start a fire, meaning that we are going to set up camp and feel that this place is so ours, permanent, that we're going to light a fire, we're going to cause trouble, we're going to start rebellious movements, we're going to be the head of all the isms that have been created in the last, 200 years. That's when the whale turns over and we're plunged into exile, or God forbid, sometimes even worse. Anyone who has not looked at the pattern of Jewish history right now, as Jews in America, in March 17th, 2025, and does not see the pattern of exile and settlement and then assimilation, and this place is going to be different, folks. They're going to accept us now. We're going to be just fine. And they're going to accept us so much that we can become part of political parties and protest the president because we don't like him. And we're going to cause a ruckus. And we're going to make a big, big fire. We're going to use our passion, not for Torah, not for survival, not for embracing Jewish values, but for the political movements of the day. That is what's going to torch the back of the whale and is going to cause it to turn over. And this has been the Jewish approach, the Torah approach of exile throughout the millennium. Low profile. Stay low profile. Don't light any fires. Don't write any op-eds in the New York Times why the president is anti-Semitic. And if someone, I'm sorry to call it up by name, if someone could deliver this podcast to Haley Sofer of the JDCA, who I email her constantly trying to get her to realize that she's lighting fires and that whole movement is lighting fires. And by the way, when the Republicans do it, I call them on it as well. They're just quieter now because they're happy with what's going on. Our job is not to light fires. Our home is, this is not our permanent home. I'm sorry. And that's the connection back to the first part of the podcast, because it's hidden in plain sight. Our final destiny is not in America. I'm not telling people to get up and move and go to Israel. I'm not saying that. That is a personal decision. But to think that America is going to be fundamentally different from any other stop on our journey of 3,300 years since Mount Sinai, sadly, have been awakened to the reality that it's not. That it's not. And the more that we jump ship, and the more that we abandon the ship of Torah and its values, the more we are going to find ourselves abandoned on foreign islands with no one to support us. And so that is what is hidden in plain sight for the Jews of America today. You know, we grew up and there's a catchy tune that we always used to sing, right? Follow along, everyone. It is a tree of life to those little fast to it, and all of its supporters are happy. Go, Mom. You got it, right? Happy. Shalom, shalom. Okay, so they sing the song, and it's great. And it's guitar and snappy tune, and love it, right? But what does it mean? Eitz chayim hi lemachazikim ba. It's a tree of life to those who hold it. What is the eitz? The eitz is the Torah. Okay? And the more that we hold on to this tree, to the values of Torah and mitzvahs and celebrating Purim, that behind the mask of all the things happening in history is the divine puppeteer, the divine marionettist, the Almighty who's orchestrating every event. That is the message we need to plug into, that Hashem is right here. He's hidden in plain sight. And our job is not to start fires and to start movements. Our job is to plug in to Hashem's word and Hashem's ways. And that is, if we can take that message out of Purim, and that's what the Jewish people did in times of Purim. After the decree was over, there was a reacceptance, a kimu v'kiblu, of an excitement, of keeping Torah, of doing mitzvot. La'yehudim ha'isa ora v'simcha v'sasam v'ikar, we said Havdalah, every Motzei Shabbos, each one of those represents a new mitzvah that we had light in, and joy in, and happiness, and honor. We became not Jews by rote, we became Jews by passion. And that's what the whole goal of the decree of Haman was, vis-a-vis the Almighty, is to wake us up that we will serve Hashem with joy. The whale will turn over, but we will find safety and security in the oceans of Torah. So God willing, we too will see Hashem hidden in plain sight. And we will take this beautiful message of Purim with us to become more inspired and more passionate and more joyous Jews. God bless. Have an amazing week of taking Purim with us. And God willing, we will see you again, back again next week, right here for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.